The reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body.
Well, good morning. My Bible's open to Luke chapter 1. I would encourage you to get your Bible out and turn there. I want to begin this morning by reading from Luke chapter 1. And I'll begin at verse 26. Luke chapter 1 at verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and you will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. In those days, verse 39 says, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now all generations will call me blessed. A few weeks ago, we looked at the story in Genesis chapter 22 of Abraham, called the father of faith, and the test that he went through. And this week, I thought it would be good for us to take a look at a mother. And not just any mother, but a mother of our Lord, and the story of the announcement that Mary, the mother of our Lord, would give birth to Jesus, even though she was a virgin, is what I want us to discuss this morning. When it comes to Mary, the mother of Jesus, there are two extremes about her that I believe both are wrong. Some have taken Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they have deified her. In other words, they have made her equal with God. There are some in the religious world that have taken Mary and began to worship her, even when the Bible says that worship belongs only to God. And what we see in the scriptures and even in this text that we just read, that the emphasis is always on the greatness of the Son, not on the mother. But because many people have taken Mary and deified her, on the other side of that, many have simply ignored Mary and not given her any thought. But I believe that Mary and her life should be carefully studied. Because I'm convinced that her life, when we look at her life, there are tremendous lessons that we as Christians can learn. I believe that she is the model for a blessed life. And I'll explain that as we go along this morning. But the first thing that I want you to see this morning, as we read in the text, when it comes to Mary, the mother of our Lord, understand that Mary's life was interrupted. You see that here when we begin reading. The scripture says that Mary was betrothed to her husband Joseph. Or maybe your version says she was pledged to Joseph. The Jews did marriage differently than we do today. Marriage usually took place in two stages. There was the betrothal period, but then there was also, after that, the wedding. But the betrothal period, or the pledge period, was much more binding than our engagements that we have today. Even when they were betrothed, before they were married, they were still considered husband and wife. And even though they did not live together or have relations together, if one committed adultery, if the wife committed adultery, she would still be considered an adulteress and she would be punishable. That crime, that sin, would be punishable by death. But because the betrothal period was so important, what it was doing is really showing the commitment between both, that there was a commitment of fidelity, and they demonstrated that. And after the betrothal period, then you would have the wedding, and they would come together and consummate the marriage. And so Mary was pledged or betrothed to Joseph. And if you think about her life, she grew up in a town called Nazareth. We'll discuss in a little bit. But it was a nowhere town. There wasn't anything going on in Nazareth. And so in the life of Mary, her marriage would have been a big deal. This is something that she was planning. She was planning on marrying Joseph. She was planning on having children, hopefully a son. And she would grow up in Nazareth and do her best in her family to honor God and to live for God. She's planning a wedding, not a baby shower. But an angel of the Lord shows up and interrupts her plans. Don't be confused. A lot of times when we think about an angel showing up in the scripture, that person to whom the angel showed up to just got warm, fuzzy feelings and goosebumps all over them. That's not the picture that the scriptures indicate to us. And this was the same with Mary. When the angel showed up, she was greatly afraid. When an angel showed up in the scripture, the angel always turned that person's world upside down. And Gabriel's announcement to Mary is no exception. She says, "You're going to conceive and bear a son. And it's not going to be any son, it's going to be the Son of God." And to prove to you this is going to take place, by the way, Elizabeth, your cousin, who is old, is 6 months pregnant, and she's going to bear a son as well, even though her womb is dead. And so we read in verse 37 once again that the angel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Now notice Mary's response in verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Listen, Mary was the very first person to hear about Jesus, to hear a word about Jesus and respond in complete obedience. And I would suggest this, that Mary this morning, Mary was the first follower of Jesus. If you think about the life of Mary, she was the first person to surrender to Jesus. She would be the only human being who would follow Christ for his entire life. Obviously, she was with Jesus when he was born. She was there as he grows. She was there in the temple when Jesus was there when they end up losing him. She was there when he grows into a teenager. She was there in John chapter 2 when Jesus performed his first miracle. She was there when they shouted, "Crucify him." She was there when he took his last breath on the cross. Mary is the only disciple who was always there in the life of Jesus. She followed Jesus everywhere. And as always the case, when you choose to surrender to Jesus and follow him, you don't know where that life will lead. You don't know what sacrifices you may have to make. You don't know what challenges will lay ahead of you. But Mary agreed to be a part of the life of Jesus. And what's amazing about Mary is that God changed the world because of what happened in Mary. But it all happened because she was willing to follow. She was willing to surrender. But I want us to think about this metaphor. I recognize that what took place within Mary in her womb was certainly miraculous. It was the working of God. But it was a physical thing. She carried Jesus in her womb. But there is a spiritual metaphor for us today that I want us to consider. Turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. You know, the Bible talks a lot, and we emphasize a lot about the necessity of being in Christ, as we should. The book of Galatians is clear that baptism puts us into Christ, and that is absolutely essential for us to have a relationship with God and to follow Jesus, to be in Christ. But there is a sense as well that the Bible talks about the other side of that coin, that Christ is to be in us. And in Galatians chapter 2, you can read in verse 20 where the apostle Paul would say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Then he would say this in chapter 4. If you look in Galatians chapter 4, at verse 18, he says, it is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Matt just read for us a moment ago in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, that Christ would be manifested in our bodies. Just as we need to be in Christ, Christ also needs to be in us. Christ needs to be formed in us. And here's what I want you to see. That Christ in me produces the blessed life. Christ in me produces the blessed life. This is what we learned from the life of Mary. I want you to notice this on the screen. Verse 28 says, he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And the angel said to her in verse 30, don't be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. Verse 45 says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Verse 48, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Mary is the model for a blessed life. But the blessed life may not be what you think it is. That's the first thing that I want you to see from the life of Mary, is that the blessed life is not an easy life. The blessed life is not an easy life. You know, a lot of times when we talk about the blessed life, that I'm blessed, I'm living the blessed life, what we mean by that is that all the circumstances in our life are favorable. What we mean by that is everything in our life is going smoothly. We talk about blessings basically just from a material or a physical standpoint, that I've been financially blessed by God, or circumstances, everything's going my way. Maybe we say, well, we got the house. God blessed us. We got the house. Or I got the raise. God blessed us. God's smiling down on us. But then yet we read this story and it says Mary is blessed. But get this. When the angel left after he gave Mary the announcement, Mary's life did not get easier. Her life didn't get any easier. It actually got harder. If you think for a moment what the life of Mary, the mother of our Lord, was like. One, she was pregnant before marriage. That would totally uproot her whole life. That's what she would be known for. There would be rumors as she walked the streets of Nazareth about her purity for a long time. Then she had to make a difficult trip right when you're ready to deliver. I don't know many 9-month pregnant women that want to take a 90-mile ride on a donkey. Yet Mary had to do that. Then there was a less than ideal birthing place. A fugitive lifestyle. For the very first few years, Mary had to be on the run because King Herod was looking to kill her child. So every sound in the night that she heard would awake her, and she would be fearful that it was the king to come to take her baby. She wasn't materially or financially blessed the way we would look at it. She lived in constant poverty. When they brought Jesus to the temple, they brought the offering that only the poor could afford. Single parent, perhaps for years. You don't hear about Joseph after Jesus was 12 years old. What I want you to see is that Mary's blessed life was not an easy life. In fact, Simeon, when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple and made the offering, Simeon would say this. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Simeon says there's going to be a sword that pierces your own heart. And you think about what she witnessed in John chapter 19. She witnessed her son die on a cross. And yet the scripture says this is the blessed life. So listen, a blessed life does not always equal an easy life. A blessed life is not always an easy life. You can be blessed and still experience immense difficulty and pain and hardship in your life. Mary's life wasn't easy. It wasn't perhaps the life she would have chosen. But Mary's life was blessed because she made the choice to surrender and have Jesus in the center of it. So I want you to grasp that. Mary's life teaches us that the blessed life is not about favorable circumstances. The blessed life comes from the fact that we have Jesus in the center of our lives. The blessed life comes because Jesus is being formed in us. A lot of times we look at our circumstances and we try to think if they're not favorable, maybe we think that God is punishing us. We got to move past that. We have to quit looking at God's blessings equal to our circumstances. God's favor, his blessings have much more to do with Jesus being in our life than everything going smoothly. The scripture teaches that if Jesus is being formed in you, then you are highly favored. Think about that. If Jesus is in the middle of your life, no matter what you have going on in your life today, no matter how hard it is, you're living the blessed life. And I've got some good news for you. If Jesus is in the middle of your life, if Jesus is being formed in you, then this life, this world, is as bad as it gets. But I got some bad news. If Jesus is not the center of your life, if you've not yet surrendered to Jesus, then this world is as good as it gets. You have nothing to look forward to. You have no hope within you. So live a blessed life. The blessed life is not always the easy life. It's about the presence of Jesus. But second of all, I want you to see this, that the blessed life is a humble life. God uses what we see in this story. God uses and works in some of the most unexpected places. It is amazing that Jesus uses a young woman from Nazareth. Nazareth today, you can see, is a tourist town. There's shops and restaurants, but it wasn't like that in Mary's day. It was a tiny little village. No one visited there. In the Talmud, that's the Jewish, where the rabbis would use for the ceremonial and in civil laws, it never mentions the town of Nazareth. 63 Galilean towns are mentioned. Nazareth is never one of them. Josephus, the famous historian, he never mentions Nazareth. You can go through your Old Testament. You won't read of any mention of Nazareth because we would call Nazareth just a little podunk town. And the funny thing is about Nazareth, you know, being from Ohio, I've always heard Buckeye jokes. I'm surprised nobody's handed me a worthless nut yet. That usually happens places where I go. But, you know, people in Ohio have Hoosier jokes. And people here in Indiana have Kentucky jokes. And people in Kentucky have Hoosier jokes, right? We all have different jokes about being from different places. Well, they were the same way in Mary's day. In Mary's day, people told Nazareth jokes. You remember when Philip came to Nathanael in John chapter 1 at verse 46, he said, look, we found the Messiah. And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? In other words, there's no way. But it was in the middle of nowhere that God decided to show up. No one in Mary's day would have ever assumed or dreamed that the most important figure in human history, the one who would change the way we keep time, change the course of human history, that this figure would come from Nazareth. Now, someone could guess Jerusalem. It was a place where the kings have reigned for centuries. It was a center of wealth. It was a center of power and prestige. Yeah, surely the king could come from there, but Nazareth, no way. But God works in unexpected places, but he also works and uses unexpected people. It's interesting to me that in the text back in Luke chapter 1, how Mary refers to herself, the words that she uses in verse 38, I am your servant, she says. In verse 48, he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. The word that she uses there is the word that was used for a female slave. It was the lowliest, most despised, most mistreated slave. And Mary says, that's who I am. And if you think about it, Mary had some strikes against her already. One, she was living in Nazareth. Two, she was a teenager. Teenagers were meant to be seen and not heard. They weren't spoiled in any way. And she was a woman. And she was yet to be married and give birth to a child. Mary, at this point, according to the culture, according to her society, is a nobody living in the middle of nowhere. But here's the great thing. God used her to change the course of history. God used the last person expected in the last place expected to do the unexpected. And God continues to use that theme. He continued to use that theme in the life of Jesus, in the fact that Jesus entered through a virgin womb and he left through an empty tomb. And you think, why is it that God would use these unexpected people in these unexpected places, in these unexpected ways? Why does he do that? He does it for his glory. He does it for his glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 27, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God can use a nobody in the middle of nowhere to do the no way. And he does it for his glory. There is no person who had less promise to achieve anything in life than Mary. And that's who God used. I'll show you this picture. This is a picture of a turtle on a fence post. Now, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but I would venture to say that the very first thing when you see this picture, you're thinking, how in the world did a turtle get on that fence post? And the answer is, he didn't get there by himself. He had to have some help. And in the very same way, when you read through the Bible and you read the story of Mary of Nazareth, and you can see that God can do the unexpected in the most unexpected people, you say, how did he do that? But then you realize that God was behind it all. And God did it all simply to bring attention to himself and to bring glory to himself. Listen, God is not looking for a star in the story. He already has a star in the story. His name is Jesus. He doesn't need a star. God didn't choose Mary because she was wealthy, because she was influential, because she was important. God didn't choose her because she was intelligent enough that, oh, she can understand this miraculous birth. No one can understand that. That's the things of God. But God chose her simply because she was willing to humble herself and surrender. In other words, someone said, God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And I think what this story teaches us is whether you're young, like Mary, a teenager, or whether you're older, I'm not going to define old, but whether you're older, God can use you. He used Elizabeth when her womb was dead to bring about John the Baptist, to bring glory to his name. And he used a teenager to bring glory to his name. And you say, well, I'm not wealthy, I'm not influential, I'm not powerful, I don't have any of those things. God can still use you in your life to bring glory to his name. What's required is a humble spirit, willing enough to surrender and submit to Jesus. The blessed life is a humble life. Number three, I want you to see this, that the blessed life believes in the power of God. It's interesting. I don't know what's more difficult to believe, that she could conceive a child within her without the help of a man, or that child conceived in her would end up being the Savior of the world. Both of those things are hard to believe. And even Mary asked, how is this going to take place? How's God going to do this? And Gabriel responds, nothing is impossible with God. And here's what we learn from Mary in this metaphor of Christ being in us. If Christ is being formed in you, then nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary took these words to heart. And she realized that God could even take a virgin like her and conceive a child without the help of a man, and he could be the creator of the universe. She believed in the power of God. So that's why I say she asked a question about logistics. She says, how can this be? Now I want you to watch the response. How can this be? In verse 34. Now watch verse 35. The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. That word overshadow is really interesting word. It was a word that was used basically just for a huge, big bird, that a bird would spread its wings, and its wingspan was so large that those wings could cover her children. And so when Mary said, "I am willing to accept, Lord, whatever you say, I am willing to submit, I'm willing to do what you want me to do, I'm willing to give my life to you," she was in essence saying, "I believe in your power." She was saying, "I believe, Lord, that even this, a virgin conceiving the Son of God, is not outside your reach." She was saying, "This plan isn't outside of your reach." And really, the question I think that Mary's story is asking us today, that I want us all to consider, is, do I believe in the power of God? Do I believe in God's power? I wonder if Mary thought about this story. If you look in Genesis chapter 18, if you turn your Bible back there, in Genesis chapter 18, the story when Abraham and Sarah got the word that Sarah would conceive, even though she was advanced in years. And when Sarah heard the news, she laughed to herself, verse 12 says in Genesis 18. She says, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?'" Watch verse 14. Watch the question. "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Ask yourself that question this morning. What's on your too hard for the Lord list? Is there anything in your life that you're experiencing, that you're dealing with this morning, that you have come to the conclusion to just say, "Lord, it's too hard"? Sometimes in our life, I think we struggle with different sins. All of us are different. We struggle with different sins and temptations. We struggle with attitudes for so long. And when we read scriptures about how Christ needs to be formed in us and how we need to change and become like Jesus, it's as though he's telling us, as he told Mary, that you're going to conceive a child as you're a virgin. It's going to be the Son of God. And what, that's as difficult to believe as that. Yet the same Spirit of God who formed Christ within her is the same Spirit that changes us. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, "We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." Where does it come from? "For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Listen, today is the day to believe in the power of God. Today is the day to say, "I am your servant, Lord. May it be according to your word." Today is the day to say that your wingspan is not too short for me. Today is the day to say, "God, you're stronger than my addiction. You're stronger than my materialism. You're stronger than my greed. You're stronger than my bitterness. You're stronger than my resentment. You're stronger than my doubts. You're stronger than my attitudes. You're stronger than anything that has hold of me today." That's what you're saying when you believe in the power of God, that God, nothing is outside of your reach. When Mary said what she said, from that day on, every day of her life would be different because of that baby inside her. And the blessed life, as we close, makes a difference. A blessed life makes a difference. I think mothers would tell you that it's impossible to have a baby and it not change you in every sense of the word. It changes the way you sleep before you have the child. It affects you before you have the child. And it even affects you after you have the child. And it's the very same way with the life of Jesus. When his Son is living within us, God expects us to change. He wants to change us, and he wants to change the world around us through a life that is being shaped and molded into Jesus Christ. So understand this morning that God is inviting all of us to live the blessed life, a life that makes a difference. So will you say with Mary, "I am your servant. May everything you have said come true"? Can you say that and mean it? Can you truly say this morning, I believe in the power of God? In order to do that, in order to live the blessed life, it takes a couple of things. One, it takes courage. It takes courage to surrender and to submit to the Lord. And it takes faith. Faith in God's ways. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, and perhaps you've lived a life where you think God will never forgive me, listen, your sins are not outside the reach of God. Your sins can be forgiven because this son that we've talked about this morning, that was conceived by Mary, ended up dying on a cross so that you can have the forgiveness of your sins. And what's required is faith, an obedient faith. If you're willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can be raised to walk in newness of life. You can be put into Christ, and Christ can start being formed in you. But if we can help you in any way in your spiritual life, don't hesitate. Come up front right now while we stand and sing.